And tonight, we're going to do a little something different. As I had been praying, and a few weeks ago, I got into the air about the Passover and into some of the things that happened today in the Passover that Israel as a nation does in the Age of Grace, which is entirely different than we do as communion. And I gave a little bit of that, and when we had communion this time, I thought about Rodan's ideal person, Rodan Bergman, to come and bring analysis to us to show what is happening so we can understand the Jews, the nation as a whole, why they do what they do. Even though they're blinded, it doesn't understand what we do. You get an idea. I believe God wants us to understand him, folks. And sometimes he wants us to understand between the two testaments what's going on. Maybe we can love the Jews better and try to reach them for the Lord. Brother Dan, God bless you, my brother. Where's he at? Here, you come right on, my brother. And he's going to give a short service about this, and then we'll go right into the communion. And I think it'll be an eye-opener to us. Thank you, brother, for willing to work with us tonight.
God thank you. Thank you. Before I start, I have a nightmare for being behind the pulpit that you just might be able to see fulfilled tonight. My nightmare is to yawn in my own sermon. I had an allergic reaction to something this afternoon, and I had to take a Benadryl. So I need to get this out of the way beforehand so that you guys know, if it does happen, that that's why. Okay, all right, so the Passover, 3,500 years ago, Moses and the children of Israel, and I know in the adult Sunday school class, you guys have been studying that and learning a lot from the book of Exodus and that first Passover, and there's some things that happened then that are different from what Jewish people do today. Some things that happened then that were not completely the total picture of what we see in Jesus' day. There were some things, tradition-wise, that were even added to the Passover table by the time of Jesus. And so I want to show you a couple of things here tonight as we get started. And I brought some items with me to help us to understand. And we're going to focus tonight on the bread and the juice, but we're going to talk about some other things too. That first Passover, there was three items, right? Three items. That's it. Three. There was the lamb, most importantly. There was the bread, and there was the bitter herbs. Now, today, there is many other things that are there. There is lettuce. There is an apple honey nut mixture. There is a roasted egg. There is parsley. There is salt water. And those things are different from what was there in that very first Passover. And there is something else that is common and something that we have in our Lord's Supper that is not in Moses' Passover. I didn't mention it yet. It's the juice, okay, the fruit of the vine. That was there by Jesus' day. And I want to share a couple of things with you. You may remember some of these things from when I shared the complete Passover. This is going to be a little bit different, focusing on the Jewish people, what they do, why they should be able to see the truth, why they don't see it, and maybe how we can help them to see it, and we can, as well, better appreciate what we are going to do here in just a few moments. So those three items, the lamb, the bitter herbs, and the unleavened bread. The lamb was without blemish and without spot. The bread was unleavened. Can some brave soul tell me, what does leaven picture in the Bible? What does leaven picture?
Sin.
Now, all other nights, all other Sabbath meals, they have bread. But that bread, most likely it's challah bread. You guys ever heard of challah? Okay. Challah bread, it's very good, but it has leaven in it. It's risen. This unleavened bread is different, and they were commanded not only to eat this unleavened bread on the Passover meal, but for the 7 days that encompassed that Passover, starting with the Passover itself and 7 days of unleavened bread. They also were not allowed to even have any leaven in their house. It was a picture of sin. And so we see these two items, the unleavened bread, and I have some here in this bag. This is what it looks like. Okay, it's matzah, which means unleavened bread in Judaism. But there's also another difference between the amount of bread that's there. On a normal Sabbath meal, there's two pieces of bread, Every Sabbath, every Friday night, there's two pieces of bread. And they have some juice as well, okay? But here, in this Passover meal, the Passover that Jewish people celebrated back March 30th of this year, there's three pieces of bread, not two. That's very important. And this is something that's specifically designated by the Jewish tradition, that there needs to be three. And so also, we need to take remembrance of the fact that in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 4, it says that the Passover would be a memorial. It was a memorial then. Remembering what? Something very specific. Remembering the lamb. It was a memorial to remember the lamb. Today, there are people within so-called Christendom that don't look at it as a memorial. It always was a memorial, and it is always supposed to be a memorial. And when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," it was much more meaningful, much more significant, what he was saying, how he was applying it to himself as the fulfillment. By the time of Jesus, there was four cups of juice on the table. Four cups. Everybody would have one cup. And I have a special cup here. This is actually from a Jewish bookstore. Okay, this is used for Passover. And everybody would have one cup, and yet it's filled four times. And those four times that it's filled are from the book of Exodus chapter 6 to symbolize four different promises. This is there. This is there by the time of Jesus. This is something that the Jewish people, somewhere between Moses and Jesus, started doing. And the wine, or the juice, it's called the pre-hagafen, the fruit of the vine. It is by no means necessitating alcoholic beverage. It is grape juice, the fruit of the vine. But somewhere before the time of Jesus, there was introduced these four cups of juice. And the only requirement of this juice, okay, the only requirement is that it needs to be red. Can somebody guess why? The blood, you guys, you got it. It's to symbolize the blood of the lamb. Today, in the Passover meal, there is not a lamb. They have this juice, these four cups, to symbolize these four promises from Exodus, and it needs to be red. It needs to be red. Those four promises are, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, cup number two. So cup number one, I will bring you out. Cup number two, I will rid you of their bondage. Cup number three, which is the one we're going to focus on, cup number three, I will redeem you. Cup number four, I will take you to me for a people. So today, the breaking of the bread and the third cup, today, the breaking of the bread and the third cup surround the time of the meal. That is important. The breaking of the bread and the third cup encompass or surround the actual Passover meal. I have some extra pieces here so I can demonstrate what they would do. There is a blessing that is given. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us or brought forth bread from the earth, and they would break it. And I can almost guarantee you, some things in Judaism are very, very old. When we read, and we're going to read it in a minute, in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus took the bread, it says he blessed it and he broke it. It's very, very, very probable that the blessing that he gave when he broke that bread was that very blessing, that very Hebrew blessing right there. And there's also a blessing over the cup. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Borei Pri Hagafen, who gives us the fruit of the vine, creator of the fruits of the vine. And so, let's go ahead and turn there if you haven't gotten there already. Matthew chapter 26. It says in verse 26, in reference to the bread, the unleavened bread. And there is a period of time in Judaism today, a specific time when they would take the bread, a specific time to take the bread and break it. And it's just before the meal. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, just like I mentioned, and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." That bread was commanded to be unleavened. It was there in the very first Passover. And there is something that has occurred since the time of Jesus to today that makes it even more evident that this vividly symbolizes the death of the Messiah, his body being broken. Continuing on in verses 27 and 28 of Matthew 26, in reference to the cup. Now, in Judaism, and we'll see this here in a minute, and I mentioned this when I taught the Passover before, but there is evidence here for sure that not only was there a cup there, there was no cup in the first Passover, but this tradition was there by the time of Jesus, and there is four of them. And there is one cup, a very specific cup, that comes after the meal. There's only one cup that specifically comes right after the meal, and it's the third cup. And so, once again, as they were eating, skip down to verse number 27, and he took the cup and gave thanks. Just like that blessing that I mentioned. Thank you, Lord, for creating the fruit of the vine. And gave a thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, real quickly, I want to mention something here. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of Jeremiah, chapter 31. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." This is the Mosaic law. It's not going to have anything to do, this new covenant, it's not going to have anything to do with the law of Moses. "Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." This new covenant had three things. And this new covenant, by the way, is for who? Originally it was given to who? Israel. The house of Israel, house of Judah. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'm going to make a new covenant, a new testament, a new promise with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It's not going to have anything to do with the Mosaic covenant, and it's going to give you three things. It's going to have God's law in your heart. It's going to have a personal relationship with the God of heaven. They shall all know me from the least to the greatest. And number three, I'm going to forgive your sin. It's going to be gone. It's going to be gone forever." Jesus said, and this wasn't some new thing that wasn't heard of or aware of in Judaism. He said, this is, in verse number 28, "This is my blood of the New Testament." He was saying at that moment, my blood, just as the Passover lamb's blood was put on that doorpost so that the firstborn of the family could live through the night, my blood is going to be shed, and it is going to make those three things possible. We're going to know God personally, just like Moses did. We can speak to him. We don't need to go through a Levitical priest or anything like that. We can speak to God directly. He's going to put his law in our inward parts. How many of you have done something that it just didn't feel right, and the Lord smote your heart once you've done something against him or some kind of sin in your life? He's going to write his law on our inward parts, and our sin is going to be forgiven. And Jesus is saying, my blood is what's going to make all of this possible. Now, it's spoken of in the New Testament that this is a mystery. What is the mystery? That it's for the Gentiles too. We can all come in, even a Samaritan like me. We can all know the Lord. We can all have our sins forgiven. We can all have his law written in our hearts. And so, when we drink that juice tonight, and as Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. We need to remember what the New Testament is, what the New Covenant is. The New Testament isn't necessarily a book. This is the later scriptures containing the New Testament, the New Covenant, the Gospel. We should be appreciative that his blood was spilled for even me. And I so appreciate what Pastor said this morning about his blood being sufficient for all. He died for all, but it's only effectual to those that would trust in him. In Isaiah 53, there's a verse that begins and ends with the word all. All we like sheep have gone astray. The very first word is all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's no room in that verse for limited atonement. But what we see here is that today, there's not only the four cups and that third cup which they will drink, but there's also this bag. And those three pieces of matzah that I mentioned are in this bag. And this bag is called an afikoman bag. And when they would break the bread, they would specifically take, the middle piece of matzah. They would take that middle piece and they would break it. Then they would take part of the matzah that they had broken and put it back in between the other two pieces. And the larger half that they broke off, they would then wrap in a linen napkin or cloth, and they would hide it. And so, we have these three pieces of matzah. Not two, but three. The top one isn't taken. The bottom one isn't taken. The middle one is taken. Out of this bag, which is called the afikoman. And there's a discrepancy in Judaism what this bag even means. But they would take that middle piece. When we refer to baptizing a believer, when we refer to the triune God and how it's listed in the New Testament, we read the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say in Matthew 26? He says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." This is not a Christian thing as far as our traditions go. This is something that's done in Judaism. March 30th of this year, they did this all over the world. And so they would take that piece of bread. They would take the middle piece out. They would break it. They would wrap half of it in a linen cloth and hide it until after the meal. After the meal, the children got to go and look for it. It was like a scavenger hunt. And whoever found it got a prize. Our director, who is fully Jewish, the director of our ministry, Mark Robinson, he grew up in New York City as a young boy, and they went to his grandmother's house, and this was in the 50s, and they would sometimes give somewhere around $100 to the person that found the afikoman. It was sought after. And so, what does this mean? Well, the rabbis will try and tell you it means dessert. Is some unleavened bread anything like dessert? Afikoman in Greek means he has come. And so, the early church, the early followers of Jesus, they were primarily of what descent? Jewish. And so, with Jesus' new covenant and showing us what this represents, there was people in Israel before the destruction of Jerusalem that greatly loved the Lord, and they knew of what he said about the bread. They knew of what he said about the juice. And so, the time came for the destruction of Jerusalem. And there is a passage in Matthew 24 and elsewhere, it's also in the book of Luke, I believe it's chapter 19, where Jesus talks about the coming destruction. He also talks about the abomination of desolation, something that's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation period. But the Jewish people in Jesus' day, they didn't know what was what. They just knew that there was armies coming, and Jesus said, "When you see the armies, flee." And so when that destruction happened, guess who wasn't there? Guess who fled when they saw the armies? The Christians, the Jewish Christians. And guess what tradition they had? And so this, taking the middle person of the triune God, the Son, breaking his body, wrapping it in a linen cloth, and hiding it. And then after the meal, somebody finds it and gets a great prize. You have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in a bag. And this is done in Jewish homes, Orthodox, Reform, any variation of a Jewish person's belief system, they all do this. And they don't know what it means. And so we need to pray for the Jewish people. As Pastor mentioned, we should be burdened for the Jewish people, and we should also be appreciative in understanding the context from which the Lord's Supper came. And Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him as the Passover lamb. One last thing I want to share with you. Many times, and I believe we do it here as well, after the communion, after the Lord's Supper, we sing, right? We sing something, and many times the tradition is following what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26. It says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives after that period of time was over. In Judaism, there is something that happens right around this time in the Passover service, and it's Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is sung many times because this is the Jewish hymn book, the book of Psalms, right in the middle of their Bible. It's in the middle of ours, and in their orientation of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, Psalms is also in the middle. And so, Psalm 118, I just want to read a couple of verses to you. This is something that I believe Jesus would have sung. I believe this is, according to the tradition, something that would have been in place by the time that Jesus had the Last Supper Passover meal. And so in Psalm 118, we read, let's go down to verse 22. And this, what I'm about to read to you, is sung in Jewish homes all over the world every year after they do this with the Afikomen. Verse 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What is the stone which the builders refused? What is the stone that is now the head of the corner? It's the Messiah. It is Jesus himself. Can you imagine Jesus singing this song, leading this song with his disciples after the Passover meal? And this is sung in Jewish homes all over the world. And then it says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And then get this. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That verse found its true meaning in a very, very specific slot of time. The very day that Jesus was to die for our sins, he sang, almost for certain, this song. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He was glad to suffer for you and for me. And so when we see the juice representing his blood, when we see the matzah, the unleavened bread, representing his body which was broken for us, think of the Jewish people all over the world that do this practice with the Afikomen, symbolizing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, and then they say, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner, and then they reiterate words that probably rolled off of Jesus' mouth 2,000 years ago, the very day that he died for us, this is the day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. There is such a rich background and context to all of these things, and I am just so thankful to be able to look into the Scriptures and see those things, and I'm thankful to be able to share that with you tonight. A lot of it may have been review for those of you that heard me talk about it last time, but we have a great God. And he does such marvelous things that cannot be explained by logic or reason. Pray for the Jewish people. We're commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's the only city in the entire world that we are commanded to pray for. And so, thank you for the opportunity to be able to share this with you. And Lord bless us as we remember what Jesus did for us. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing? They're still looking for the Messiah and doing what is evidence that Messiah's already come. They look forward to the day, and of course we always know he has come. We look to the rear of the day. We keep communion because God said do it. We believe it is the one of the ordinances that God gave, along with baptism, to manifest to a world that we believe that he's alive and well through the ceremony and through the ordinance he gave us at that time. So we get to 1 Corinthians when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he laid this out as we read before we have communion. He says, for in verse 23 of chapter 11, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, this is back in Matthew we just read. This is some 26 years happened before. Paul's writing about 26 years later. And he's laying out the emphasis, not only to the Gentiles, but to the Jews, that Jesus Christ has already come. Though they're keeping that formality of what they're doing in worship, it's all in vain as far as the individual is concerned, because Jesus has already come. We're not looking for the Savior to come the first time. He's already come. We look him to come the second time, and he's going to receive us all unto himself. And then Paul said, and when he had given thanks, he goes back and shows what happened. He breaketh it, that is the bread. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And this is what we do every fifth Sunday night. And he said, after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament and is my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. I wonder why the Lord instigated this. Because he knew, if anybody, and certainly in our age more than anything else, that if we didn't have something to stop and think back on and remember what God had done for us, we get so entangled in life to make a living rather than making a life, we forget what God's done for us. Here's a time to go back and reminisce and think from the last communion to this communion that we might find a time to check ourselves, slow down a minute, and realize this is not our home. We're passing through. And by doing this, the world, when they hear communion, now it's been mocked today because it's been in religious some religious groups, it's mocked today by making it say something that it doesn't say. Because first of all, ladies and gentlemen, this thing of taking communion does not mean that Christ dies every time we take it. He died one time and one time only. And it's only a remembrance of what he did for us. Some claim, though, that when you take communion in certain activities, that the bread becomes the body of Christ to the place and the blood becomes his blood, that Christ died for us each time, symbolically, because they take of that. I'm glad his blood was enough to do it one time, aren't you? And I'm not ashamed to practice what he said, do. For as often as you eat this bread again, and to show the Lord's death till he comes, and wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's been changed a lot today, too. But he said, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I even heard someone recently talked about this only meant when you talk about someone being healed. I never seen that before. That is, this calls about healing. Unless you do it this way, you can't be healed. Ladies and gentlemen, take it for its worth. God sees us and knows that we need something in this life that we're saved to make us go back and remember what God did for us. Remember what Jesus did for us and realize we're not our own now. He has bought and paid for us a price that cost Christ his life and God's only begotten Son. And so tonight we come together for that purpose, to remember what the Lord has done for us in taking this communion. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I believe with all my heart God would have us to examine ourselves and ask God to show us that we might be counted worthy, that sin would be confessed before God. And only we know what that would be. Not just God forgive us all our sin. That's general confession. By the way, that's an easy thing for people to do. But we're to look in our heart and ask God to look in our heart and make us be understandable what sin is and realize that God's not, listen, he's not playing with us when he talks about taking this worthy or unworthy. God, who saved our soul if we're saved, is not playing with us. I'm glad that I understand that God has a plan and a purpose, and he's not going to deviate from anybody, even though man in religion tries to change what God is planning. So tonight, we want to be honored before him and be honest before him. And as a mother, as a dad, as an individual, as a father, we need to look at our lives and say, God, please check every chamber of my heart, spiritually speaking, that it be clean, just like it was the day I got saved when I asked Christ to come into my heart and the blood cleansed me from my sin. My Heavenly Father, we don't understand everything, but there are some things precisely that you give us that we can and do understand. And communion is one of those. I'm glad that you gave us this, not to just to do, to try to be religious, but to honor you. When our Lord and Savior said, as often as you do this, and Paul confirmed this 26 years later as he wrote to the church at Corinth, we do show forth the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Search our heart, as pastor from down to this, to the smallest child that has any means of understanding right and wrong, that we might take of this tonight worthy for your glory. When we leave this place, be clean, because we not held anything back, but gave it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That night he took the bread and he blessed it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again, and the breaking of the bread showed us that, at least symbolically, of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And breaking a piece of bread in half is nothing compared to as we take of this bread and chew it up in our mouth, it becomes many thousands of pieces. It shows us how much the Lord loved us, and his body was broken, and he did it all that we might be called children of God. A lot of things I don't understand about the mechanics of this, Lord. Until we get to heaven one day, you can really understand as it is. We thank you what little we understand, that we may practice in this life in the mockery of society as we do what our Lord said do. And in so doing tonight, bless this bread and remind us how much you loved us through the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And he blessed the cup. Our Father, we come to you again, and we thank you for the cup that we know, though it's just fruit of the vine, we know it represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you teach us that we are to partake of it, to remember your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Lord, we're so glad to know, as we study your life here on earth, the last 3.5 years that you lived, you did die, and you was buried, but we also know, thank God, you didn't stay there. You came forth from the dead. So we take of this in honor, to honor you, to surrender to you and say thank you for loving us that much. Even before we were yet born, 2,000 years later, we came on the scene. And now we're doing exactly what Jesus told us to do, because you loved us, and we love you, and we want to obey you. And we pray again this night, be a night as we take it each time, that we be clean as we were the day we got saved, because all sin is confessed to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And they stood that night as they went out and sung a song, what I like to sing together.